Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
We're going to have an impromptu meeting today because technology, gremlins running all those little wires and stuff, you know. And pray for Brother Peter that he figures out how to do this thing. But if not, we're prepared to go without it. Usually I bring a page of my notes just so I stay on track. But this time, the Lord gave me so much that I didn't want to miss any of it. I'm not going to read it to you word for word, but it's unusual that the Lord would give me so much. But I realized I've been coming here, like Alex said, for 5, 6, 7 years. It's been a while. And every time I come in this building, this congregation, the Spirit is here. I love this church. I love this body. Because you know when the Spirit's here and when it's not. I go to many churches. You hear them called the dead churches. There's many churches today that they wouldn't know the Holy Spirit if it walked in the room. But I like this church because when I come here also, I prepare things a day ahead of time or 2 days ahead of time. And I know things that I want you to hear, but I also want to know what the Lord would bring for you. And when I'm sitting here in the service, it's amazing. But I always have to give a little background on the Gideons. 99% of you know who we are and what we do, but there may be one or two that are kind of new to the Gideons. So I'm just going to show a short video about the Gideons so we get the bookkeeping stuff out of the way and remind you once again who the Gideons are before I start telling you what the Lord has to share. Peter? So that's what we do locally and worldwide. But we're here in Sussex County, and what's important is what we do right here in our own backyard. And the Lord has been moving so much in this area that I can't wait to tell you. Peter, do we have PowerPoint or not?
Not yet.
Okay, then we're going to go to school. Open your Bibles to Isaiah 55:8, please. It's just like Brother Paul had to have you come up with the words, because there wasn't a slide. We're going to go to Isaiah 55:8. You'd think a good Gideon would have marked the spot before he did all this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor our ways, nor your ways, my ways, as the Lord. Interesting. During our prayer time, one of the brothers said, Lord, let it be your plan and not man's plan. Go down to verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, that shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper to the things for which I sent it. During the testimony, I heard a brother say, his word will not return void. Now, where I come from, brothers and sisters, that's confirmation from the Lord. He gave me these verses days ago, and he repeated them to me here during our time of worship and testimony and prayer. So that's the message. The message is, our ways are not his ways. So then I got to thinking, which is sometimes dangerous when it comes to dealing with the Lord, how do you ask God to move? Think about how we ask I'll talk for myself, but think also about individually. How is it that you ask God to move? Well, me, I give him a list. I think that he needs a list. I think that he's not sure exactly each step that he has to take. So I give him a list. Now, I have a son. He's in his early 30s. He's single, happily single. Lives in an apartment, a bachelor pad. He works from home. He works on the computer all day for Verizon. He has a dog. He has a gym membership. And he has friends his age that go out and do whatever they do at that age. Some things I know, some things I don't want to know. He was raised in the church. He knows the Lord. He prays, but he doesn't go to church. He doesn't talk much about the Lord when we're together. We try to share. He hasn't stopped believing. He's just stopped doing. So, in case God missed that, I figure I've got to let God know. So I ask him things like, Lord, please remove people from his life that don't belong in it. God wouldn't have thought of that one, right? Surround him with people his own age who can witness to him. When I told God that, he went, wow, I got it. And to open his eyes to see you and all that you've done for him. To give him favor with his bosses, co-workers, and customers. And introduce him to that perfect mate that you've already chosen for him. Teach him to be a good caregiver for the dog. Now that's important. I mean, that's right up there on the list of things that the Lord needed to know. And that's about half of my list. And then I read, his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. And I'm thinking, okay, I get it. I may stop doing it. I'm going to try to stop giving him a list. So far, me giving him the list hasn't made any of it happen because God has a plan. Now, I know we should pray for things that are specific. And I know that everything I ask for are good things. But God doesn't need me to spell it out. He doesn't need me to tell him how to do this. He knows what's best for my son. He already knows what my son needs. He already knows the plan he has for my son's life. His plan. I've been trying to ask God, create my son in my image. What I want. So there will be a time of repentance and all that later. But we all have to think, we might all be guilty of that in some ways. I had pastor or brother in Christ saw it on a TV. I don't know where it was, but I've always remembered it. You know that God has a sense of humor. And you know how to make him chuckle? Tell him your plan. Because I'm sure when I tell him some of my plans, he goes, yeah, okay. Look at this guy. So the same dilemma holds true in ministries that we serve in. Are we praying in our ministries? I know in the Gideons we do. Well, I do. I don't know about all the Gideons. But if I want us to get God's word into the hospital, well, I immediately make a list of everything that has to happen for us to get in that hospital. God doesn't need a list. God doesn't need a list. We had our auxiliary and our men were praying to get into Nanticoke Hospital for 3 years. And we gave God every kind of way to do it. He had many options. He just wasn't ready to do what we wanted. So, one day, we get a call from the new head nurse at the hospital, who had just come. She's the head nurse. She had come from another city. And she says, I'm the new head nurse here, and my nurses say they haven't gotten any testaments for years. What's going on? And we said, oh, we've got the testament. She goes, well, When are you going to bring them? So we got with her, and then every nurse in that hospital received a copy of God's Word that hadn't had them for years. And I was thinking about my list, and I didn't say, bring us a nurse from another city and have her ask us for them, right? Didn't happen. So I'm starting to try to make it my personal mission to pray in God's will. He doesn't need the list. So we've been very successful over the years, but the churches have grown a little colder. Some churches have gone liberal. Some churches have lost their way. So there's fewer and fewer churches that are supporting the Gideons. But there's also businesses that have been intimidated as to not, like hotels used to always take Bibles in the room. Now it's the minority that'll take Bibles because they don't want to offend anyone. I asked one of the hotel managers, he said he didn't want them to be offended. I said, well, if something offended me, would you correct it? He says, what do you mean? It offends me that you're not taking Bibles. How about not offending me and take some Bibles for your rooms? And he says, no. Surprise. So anyway, what's been on our hearts for many years is the youth. We know it was a long time ago that took the Bibles and prayer out of school. That was one thing. But we were able to go to the schools and still give out testaments to the students. We were able to go to the schools for a while, and then they said, well, you can't go in the classroom. You have to stand on the sidewalk. So we did that. Then they said, well, you can't stand on the sidewalk that's school property. You got to go across the street and stand on a public sidewalk. And then they decided to start bringing all the kids in on buses, and the buses pull under their property, so all those students don't have any opportunity to receive a testament. So the Lord started moving. He started it in Maryland, where the Fourth Circuit Court made a ruling that Bibles are allowed to be placed in the public schools. Not because they're Bibles, but because public access. If the Boy Scouts put out a flyer, then we can put in a Bible. If the YMCA has a thing on the bulletin board, we can provide a Bible. But that's not the case in Delaware, because we're not in the Fourth Circuit. We're in the Third Circuit. Before I go any Peter, if you ever get it, just like yell hallelujah and do a wave or something, and we'll start going over there. But until then, so we were forced out of the schools, more or less. So I said, well, I'm going to make an appointment with the superintendent of Woodbridge Schools, and I'm going to go over and talk to him, tell him what we're doing in Maryland, telling him that there's nothing in Delaware that prevents it, which there isn't. We had our state senator, Bryant Richardson, contact the Department of Education, and there is no rule in Delaware that says you cannot put Bibles in school. But it's up to every individual district if they choose to do it. So I go and I meet with our school superintendent, and he says, well, he says, we really don't have a policy for that. And, you know, separation of church and state. So I had to explain to him what that meant because he didn't have a clue. I said, it has nothing to do with that. You can put signs on it as a disclaimer. This is not supported by the school or the parents or any of that. And he says, but if I let you in, we'll have to let, say, the Satanists in. I said, okay. So what do you mean, okay? He said, you'd let the Satanists in? I said, don't you want to expose these students to what the world is like? There's going to be Christians, there's going to be Muslims, there's going to be Catholics, there's going to be Satanists. There's going to be things out there, and if you don't let them see who and what they are. Now, this was before I could have used the gender and all that other stuff. I won't even go there. But this was before all that happened. This was November of 2019. So when he didn't have any more arguments to do, he says, I would need a policy written by the Board of Education in order for me to enforce it. I said, okay. So the door was open a crack. And we left it at that. So I knew one member on the board, and I was just starting to talk to him about how I can get a presentation before the board. COVID. March of 2020, COVID. The schools closed. Everything locked down. So that fell right through. And then it was another year that they didn't know if they were open in, and they didn't know this and that. So we kept praying. And boy, to getting into those schools, I reminded God how close we got. Because he didn't know. He might not have been listening close. I reminded him how close we were and all the things that we had to do. And nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. So I was flipping channels one day, and there was a televangelist that came on TV. And he was telling the story. Well, he was a pastor of a church. And he said the church needed to expand, and they were looking. They figured they needed 10 acres to build their new facility on. In the town, there was a small airport that had 22 acres of land available for sale. So he went and he met with the person in charge of selling it. And they said, well, we understand you, but it's, you know, we can't just sell you 10 acres. It's the whole 22. Pastor says, no, I only need 10 acres. Isn't there any way that we can parcel it? He says, no. So the pastor said, well, okay. So the pastor said, so we went back and prayed. Nothing happened. He says, I went back in 6 months. It still hadn't sold. He says, well, it's not selling. Maybe you'd like to break it up. Give us 10 acres. He goes, nah, don't. You know, you're wasting your time. It's not going to change. So the pastor came across the scripture during one of his messages. And let's go to 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. First Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And he started looking at that, and he said, well, let's see here. Supplication, and he looked that up. It's humble and earnest prayer. That's the supplication part. And in prayer, of course, is a reverent petition to God. Intercession, prayer on behalf of another. And then, of course, giving thanks, we all know, is an expression of gratitude. And then what jumped out to him, that after the kings, it said, and all who are in authority. And he says, people that have the authority, people that are in authority. One man has the authority to sell the 10 acres. So the church prayed for that man by name, that the Lord would use that man to glorify himself and to do God's will if the Lord wanted them to have the 10 acres. He said they prayed that for 2 weeks at all of their prayer sessions. He went in his office one day And that man called him. And he says, do you still want to buy just 10 acres? He says, of course. And the man at the airport said, I have no idea. I have no idea why I feel like I'm supposed to sell you these. He goes, I don't even know. He said, we have no plans, but I feel like I have to sell you these 10 acres. And he did. Praying for all those in authority. And I said, okay. So I went back to my camp and I shared this with him. And I said, so what do you think about that? How about if we write down the names of all the people on the Woodbridge School Board and the superintendent's name and just say, God, we're not giving you a list. We know you want your word to be available to every student in every school. And we pray that you touch those in authority, and we said, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I don't want to name the names. They're on the website. Anybody that would like to go look them up and pray for them, wish you would. But we didn't give him a list. Because the way he answered it, would have never figured this out. Never figured this out. How many of you have had prayer requests and you thought of 10 ways it could have been answered and it was answered in a different way? Just show your hand. You know it. He does it all the time. So, here's the good part. I get an email from a church secretary of a church that I had spoken to about wanting to get into the schools. And I'd asked all the church congregation to pray, just like I've asked you over the years, pray that the doors open. The email from the church secretary says, we have a lady in our congregation that wants to know how to get a hold of the Gideons because she would like to put Bibles in the Woodbridge Middle School. I went, and I read the email again. I went, what? I read it again. So I said, sure, give her my email, give her phone number. So I made contact. This lady from the church was a parent of two students in the middle school. She introduced herself. We had a brief talk, and she says, I heard you speak at the church a year or two ago, I forget what it was, and that how you wanted to get into the schools. And she says, my husband and I have been praying for the schools ever since that day. She said, as a parent, I wanted to put a group together to go and have an event at the CU at the Pole. Is everybody familiar with that? CU at the Pole is a parent and student-led meeting at the flagpole before school. It's either 1 or 2 days. It's usually in September or October where the weather's still pretty decent. And it's a nationwide thing. There's nothing that can prevent it. If it's parents and students, the school's not involved with it, they meet at the pole before school opens and they pray. So she wanted to do that with some other parents. Well, Woodbridge says, well, no, you have to have approval. You have had to submit a form, a request to have approval. And she goes, why do we need approval? I said, well, that's the way it is. So they wouldn't let her do it. So she didn't let go. She started going to school board meetings and said, I want to know how to see you at the poll next year. But in that conversation, she met one of the members on the school board who happens to be a Christian, who happens to be a retired teacher. And she said, well, let's not wait till see at the board members said, let's not wait till see at the poll. Why don't we see if we can't give the students Bibles for Christmas? Wow. Amazing. So they arranged, well, first the board member had to go to the superintendent, who was iffy about it and talked to him. Again, a God thing. The superintendent said to the board member, I can tell these students are looking for something. These students are looking for something. That's amazing. So the board member really didn't want to, first time out of the gate, have it be the Gideons, because they might get feedback or protest against the Gideons and all that stuff. So she says, well, let's do it as the parents are setting up a table with Bibles and let the kids take what they want. Is that okay? I said, you bet it is. Because we're Gideons, but our purpose is to get his word in the hands of the lost. I don't need a Gideon poster on it, any of that stuff. So for the first time, in I don't know how many decades, the week before Christmas in the Woodbridge cafeteria, they set up a table and they put a little manger scene, and the parents made a sign that says, receive the hope of Christmas, take a free Bible. And they put that on the table with all the testaments that we give out. So I'm saying, well, it's going to set in the cafeteria all day. When they take them, who's going to replenish the table? Because the Gideons weren't allowed to be around, to be in the school. I said, who's going to do that? And the maintenance guy that was setting up the table, he was, oh, I'll do it. So come to find out, he's also a Christian that goes to a Bible-believing church. He says, yeah. I said, he says, every time they need them, give me the boxes and I'll just put them up on there. Then he said, then I said, well, how about when you're not here? He says, they all know the camera's right there. So the table was right underneath the camera, so nobody was going to mess with anything. And so we gave it a try. It was for 2 days during lunch period. Well, the first day, they gave out 300 testaments. They called and said, we need more. The second day, they gave out another 180. So 480 students received God's word inside the Woodbridge Middle School for the first time in decades. So God is moving. And praise to God. Praise God for that. Amen. Amen. So that was such joy. I mean, we had celebrations like you can't imagine. Now, we don't know the next step. We don't know God's next step. But we do know that he wants every student in every school to have an opportunity to receive his word. So I ask that you continue to pray for the Woodbridge School Board. If you know people on other school boards, let me know, because I'll contact them. It starts small. Remember when Elijah saw the little cloud, looked like a hand, just like a fist? Well, that's what we've got now. 480 in one school, in one cafeteria. And the good thing is, your fingerprints on every one of those. On every one of those testaments that was taken, your fingerprints are there, because this church supports us. You pray for us. You help us financially to provide the scriptures. Every penny you pay, every dollar, simply goes to buy the scriptures. We pay all the other expenses ourselves, because that's our offering to the Lord. So since it's right down the road here, and since you contribute faithfully to us, be happy, be joyful that those are there because of you. Amen. And your prayers, and those students are getting the word of God into those schools. Now, what's going forward, we don't know. But in the meantime, we have been still doing our other duties. When the lockdown came, as you know, we couldn't do very much. But we were able to open other doors that we hadn't been to before. We were able to go to the food distributions that so many churches did. And in those food distributions, the Gideons were there, and when they came to get their food, we also gave them a copy of God's Word. And in the past year alone, we gave out 1,900 copies of God's words to the people at the food distributions. We went to all the first responders, because you know what it was like for first responders during COVID? It was a mess. It was really stressful. The nurses, the doctors, the police, the EMTs, all of those people were on extra heavy duty all the time. So to them, just in this local area, we gave out 700 copies of God's Word. And they were all thrilled that somebody even thought of them to give them there. And then we also were able to go to the migrant camps. That's an area we hadn't done for many years. But in the migrant camps, we gave out almost other 300 testaments. Most of them, as you know, are Spanish, but we give them a little 3x5 card that tells them in Spanish that not only does God love them and this is God's love letter to you, but the name of the church that has a Spanish service. And the one that's on there is a Crossroad Community, has a Spanish service. So that's the only one we know. Hey, we got thumbs up back there. Okay. Next. Okay, this is what we spoke about. Next. Okay, that's, see at the poll. That's what the students are doing. Next. That's the scripture, pray for all in authority. That made a big difference. Find the ones that are in authority. And don't just, it's nice to say, Lord, open the doors and make it. But touch the hearts of these people. Next. Okay, I didn't put their names up, but if you happen to see their names are there, that's a mistake. Pray for these people. These are the ones in authority. These are the ones that can make it happen. Next. Okay. This is what they're doing in Maryland. That's Caroline Camp, happens to be Jim Elbin's camp. So Jim and the brothers in his camp have been doing schools for a couple years now, and you see what they can do. How many, Jim? I know it's
thousands. This particular school and time, I think it was almost 2,000 scriptures.
Praise God. Praise God. Now, which school was that?
That was Lockman Middle School.
Okay. And then you had the one, you probably heard the story, but the school in Cambridge wouldn't let them in, and they kept praying, and the superintendent resigned, and the new superintendent let them in. So, next. Now, these are the Delaware schools. That could be any school in Delaware. Nothing. Now, as I said, we got a little beginning in the Woodbridge School, and it looks like this. Praise God. Little display. The hope of Christmas. Please take a Bible as our gift. Can you read it? As our gift to you for Christmas. Now, that was the initial setup. Of course, the table was full of scriptures by the time it was done. Next one. Back to Isaiah 55:11. Now this scripture verse has been like the Gideon's motto from 1900 on. You know, this is what we stand by every time we do a presentation. Because a testament has been found in a rain gutter. A guy's cleaning his rain gutter and finds a little testament. And takes it home and reads it and gives his heart to the Lord. They found him in dumpsters. His word doesn't return void, that's for sure. Next. Okay, you're making a difference. Keep praying. Keep trusting the Lord. Watch him move. He's going to move in ways that only He can move. It may not be our ways. It rarely is our ways. But thank you for praying and opening the doors to those schools. Thank you for your offerings. Thank you for your donations to us. You don't know how much it means, because if there's no scriptures to hand out, we're just a bunch of people having meetings, you know. So thank you. You have been supporting us for years, and I personally want to thank you, because Family Ministries is one of the most faithful supporters that we have in Sussex County. Thank you very much, and God bless.
Does anybody have any questions?
Oh, yeah. Q&A? Wow, was it that good, or was it that uninteresting? Well, should be filled with joy. We got in the middle.
How are the other camps in Delaware doing?
We have not been to any Delaware school except Woodbridge.
Okay.
All the other Delaware camps are trying, but with no success yet. So now that we found this key, the key to the kingdom, I'm going to start sharing with the other camps how to focus their prayers. And He's going to open the doors, because there's a move in the country, you know that. There's revivals popping up in all kinds of different places. And the youth are going to change the heart. The youth is where this is all going to happen, just like it's done for so many other revivals. And isn't it interesting that the Jesus movement is now coming out in a movie next month called The Jesus Revolution, so everybody in this generation can see how God moved in the 70s with the Jesus movement? That's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. It's going to happen. Just keep praying. Thank you.